answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The overwhelming share of casualties and fatalities that were inflicted were against the Cuban guard that had exerted control over the people of Venezuela. So what many don't realize is that for years, Maduro stayed in power through an illicit deal with Cuban communists to provide his security because he didn't trust his own people to keep him safe. That is how much he was hated inside of Venezuela. So what our special forces encountered when they did that daring midnight assault into Caracas were armed Cuban guards, mm-hmm. and they sustained massive numbers of casualties. I can't give you an exact number. The numbers that you've seen in terms of the Cuban guards publicly reported are probably lower than the actual number that were killed.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. We've been given false numbers out of Venezuela. They do not want to admit how many were killed. But Stephen Miller, U.S. Homeland Security Advisor, says many of you might not know, and I think it's going to come as a surprise to many, these were Cubans, for the most part, killed in Venezuela. Cuba had been shoring out the Maduro regime, sending their soldiers in because Maduro, as you heard Miller say, did not trust his own forces. There is a crack in that Maduro regime, regardless of what we did the other night. But now it widens. We're going to get into that in more detail because that is a piece that you've got to keep in mind. Everyone running around, hands up in the air, hair on fire. My God, we went into Venezuela. We're trying to be imperialists. We're trying to take control of it. Ignoring the fact that Cuba, China, and Russia have been in Venezuela. They've been trying to make it a colonial purchase and acquisition for them for placing communism deeper into our hemisphere. And there's a good reason we do not want that to continue. And Trump has already said Cuba could be the next to go down. Expect the Cubans in Cuba who want to be free to begin a rally in protest against the current leadership. Thanks for joining us. Hour number one, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, January 6th. 2026. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. It's very easy to do. You go to Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook, News Talk STL Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up later is a podcast in case you can't stay for the entire 2 hours. You'll find the podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and News Talk STL. Listen when you can, and then push share. Send it on to others. And I'll remind you real quickly, if you've got a cell phone, and I know you do, you got us in your palm. You have a radio in your hand. You simply download the News Talk STL free app, put it on your phone, you open it up, and whatever program we have on at that moment, you'll be listening to as it airs, which would be right now. Thank you very much. Larry Connors, USA. Spread the word on that app to put on your phone. With Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. I promise you every hour when you finish that hour, you're going to know more than what you did when we began the hour. That's my mission, to educate, not just go through a list of materials, but to educate. In our next hour, by the way, Drew Thomas Allen on the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. That's still to come in the next hour. Later this hour, the story behind the story. I admit, I lied to a news director so I could cover the funeral of President LBJ. The story behind the story, later in this hour. Now back to our assault going into Venezuela and attacking these radar stations, tracking stations, artillery guns to protect our forces. And as you heard Miller say, most of them were manned by Cubans. And we went in, we had a mission, not to wage war against Venezuela. not even to wage war against the Cubans on the ground, but we were going to knock them out so our forces could be entering the country and leaving the country without harm. And that worked. We had no U.S. casualties. Two or three injuries, not told yet as to how severe, but it appears we were in and out. And then we heard also that Maduro had maybe 3 minutes warning, and we bum-rushed him as he tried to get to his safe facility in his palace. Didn't work. And even CNN had to praise in delicate ways the raid carried out against Maduro.
That secret plan known as Operation Absolute Resolve was months in the making. It began at 10:46 Eastern on Friday night, involving more than 150 aircraft from 20 different bases on land and at sea. We're told that with those jet fighters in the air, joint air components soon began dismantling and disabling air defense systems in Venezuela. Just after 1 in the morning, U.S. apprehension forces descended into Maduro's heavily fortified compound in Caracas. The Venezuelan president and his wife were then dragged from their bedrooms by the U.S. Army's elite Delta Force before the couple was able to flee, though they tried, to a nearby safe room. And then by 3:30, the return force was over water with the Maduros, and they were taken into custody by the Department of Justice, whisked away to an amphibious assault ship in the Caribbean.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We'll take Maduro and the wife and take them back to the U.S., where yesterday they stood in front of a judge pleading not guilty to weapons and drugs charges. These indictments and charges against Maduro were something like 15-plus years old. Biden didn't do anything about it. Trump was not in office the first time long enough to do anything about it. And it's been escalating as Venezuela has been shipping, in violation of sanctions, oil to various countries, Cuba, China, Russia, and building their resources on the backs of their broken people. Venezuelans have been in the streets shouting joy, jubilation. There are reports that so-called killer squads are roaming through Venezuela looking for anyone who might have been supporting and giving information to the U.S. And for that matter, they're going to round up and execute anyone they consider to be favoring what the U.S. did. So there's still a thin, delicate balance for the Venezuelans to walk. They want to go out and shout and jubilation, but they also know that if they do, they might be targeted. But for the most part, many have said, to hell with it, we're going forward. Once again, back to Stephen Miller on what kind of defense operations Venezuela had against our forces.
The United States of America launched an assault force into Venezuelan territory,
right,
which has sophisticated air defense systems, which has sophisticated surveillance systems, which has weaponry that they've received that can take out planes and helicopters from our foreign adversaries that they've been stockpiling for years in anticipation of the possibility of such an action.
Right.
Maduro was staying in a military fortress. In other words, since the United States had started amassing this armada under President Trump's leadership and direction, he'd increasingly narrowed the scope of his own movement. He was sleeping in a fortress.
Yeah,
and so we flew into Caracas, these special forces, engage in direct gunfire with elite Cuban guards, and every single kill was an enemy kill.
Yeah, every single kill. Coming up, we're going to be joined by retired Green Beret Colonel Steve Bucci, on the U.S. raid and how it was carried out, the layers of protection we had for our forces when they hit the ground in Venezuela. That's coming up a little bit later. In the meantime, of course, you continue to hear outcries from the left. This was wrong. It shouldn't have happened. And one of the loudest voices come from Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
What Trump has done is made the world significantly less safe. If the United States can attack and kidnap the president of Venezuela, who clearly is corrupt, clearly is a bad news guy, but he's the president there. If we can do that, what is stopping any other country on earth, for whatever reason, or terrorist organizations from launching military attacks? Trump has violated international law, and that is going to make all of us, I think, less safe. Trump has made it clear he wants to take Venezuela's oil. Last I heard, this is what imperialism is all about. And I suspect that people all over the world are saying, wow, we're going back to where we were 100 years ago, 50 years ago, where the big, powerful countries were exploiting poorer countries for their natural resources.
And Bernie Sanders, you're ignoring that Cuba, Russia, and China were active in Venezuela. And while they were there, they were there for the oil as well, and they wanted to be part of Venezuela. Every time we have any action that goes into a country that has a vast oil reserve, we're doing it just for the oil. Not true. We had a standing warrant, an arrest warrant, against Maduro and other members of his family. We took his wife out with him. His son is also charged, and other leaders inside and outside the government are still in Venezuela. But I'll tell you this, you know they're shaking in fear and hiding as much as they can. And I will agree with Bernie that what we did might cause more threats against the USA. But what are you going to do otherwise? They're going to threaten us anyway. But this is not an act of imperialism. In fact, the Venezuelan opposition leader, Maria Corina Machado, says she's going to get back to Venezuela as soon as she can. She said the current regime is escalating the internal crackdown on any dissent and the journalists, and that's true. She said, I've been in hiding for over 16 months. That's why I decided to go out, because I believe at this moment I'm more useful to our cause, being able to speak from where I am right now. But I'm going back as soon as possible. And she's doing it because Maduro is out. By the way, Machado escaped Venezuela last month and traveled to Norway to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, which she dedicated to President Trump. Getting her back in place and what happens going forward and how much the U.S. has to say about it, that's going to be a key point, obviously. But Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, says, for those of you railing and claiming Trump had no authority and violated international law, I have this to say.
Look, I can tell you, as Speaker of the House, as the person who's in charge of defending Article I powers, I'm just going to insist to you that those have not been traversed in any way by what happened here. The president used his authority under the law. He did so in a way that caused no casualties on the American side and got the job done with exquisite intelligence and extreme precision that can only be done by the U.S. That's why we are the world's great and last superpower, and we stand for justice, and you're going to see that meted out here. It's overdue, and everyone will be safer because this has happened.
Yeah. While we might see increased threats against us, as Bernie Sanders said, we're going to see them anyway. But Johnson said we're also going to be admired for what we did, and other countries will rally behind us. Minnesota Governor Walz, as we mentioned yesterday, is dropping out of the race to be a third-term governor, claiming that I got to devote all my time to protecting my citizens from fraud. You've been in office, and you let it happen on your watch, and you did nothing until all of it blew up in your face. But Democrat political analyst Paul Begala says Walz leaving that race is good news for Democrats. How?
This is actually good news for the Democrats, because it also takes this very real allegation of corruption in childcare, and it takes it out of the political arena, right? Republicans can't make hay off of that. Believe me, there's a special place for anybody if they're stealing from children, vulnerable children, and that place is in prison here and in hell in the next life.
Well, I'm glad he made that clear. And that's what they were doing in Minnesota, Paul Begala. And Governor Walz was doing nothing about it. But what he's saying, this will take this off the political agenda and make it easier for Democrats to run and rule in Minnesota continuing. I'm not so sure about that. But don't you find it somewhat ironic and a twisted logic? If Walz gets out because all this fraud happened on his watch, it's going to be better for the Democrat Party. You think that stink and that stain goes away simply because of that? Let me reassure you, not only no, but hell no. In the meantime, because I want to run down some of this lavish spending we've seen from the Somalians in Minnesota. This is reported by the New York Post. One of those involved, a 43-year-old, pled guilty in 2023 to wire fraud, money laundering, spent $350,000 on that money on a resort in Kenya. Another one who masterminded the fraud operation paid a boyfriend $1 million salary as part of a phony contract. And the couple rented Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, and other exotic cars at $2,000 a day. And they took lavish vacations to Las Vegas and Graceland. Elvis is not dead. Maybe they didn't know that. This is just the tip of some of those that have been involved. And how they spent money that they took from the mouths of those children and families in Minnesota, which Paul Begala admits that's wrong, and anyone who did that should face hell in their life after, and right now, prison. That's a lot of talk, but let's lock them up. And in the meantime, we know it's happening in other states. The latest example, Maine.
And more I started digging, the more I started finding. And I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, that this was happening and that I was part of this.
Chris Bernardini spent 7 years working for Gateway Community Services, a Somali-American-led health services contractor in Maine. Bernardini alleges Gateway oversaw a system in which false records were filed about client visits. And he says they charged taxpayers for providing services that were never performed.
We started getting some clients saying that, calling and saying, you know, months later that their client owed them hours. They hadn't come in for these shifts and stuff, but I had a time card for it.
And then they were billing for it.
They were billing for it.
If you have a time card, you bill for it. Well, we're supposed to pay it. I don't think so. I don't think so, and we're not going to. And I'm glad that that fraud has been uncovered. And every blue city and state, you can look for this fraud, and it's springing up and sprouting like weeds. Cut them down. Coming up next, as I'd mentioned earlier, former Green Beret Colonel Steve Bucci on some of the logistics of what we carried out in Venezuela with our forces. Steve has, obviously, as a Green Beret, former Green Beret, has knowledge of past incidents, and he has an eye for what took place this time. You want to hear what he thinks and how it was carried out and what could have happened, and that's a serious consequence we could have faced. But thank God, with all the planning and the effort put into it, and a strong commander-in-chief and secretary of war, our troops went in, executed the mission, and got out. Also, the story behind the story. I lied to cover the funeral of President LBJ. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joining us now, as promised, retired Colonel Steve Bucci, 30 years as a Green Beret, now an analyst for Heritage Foundation. First of all, Colonel, thank you for your service. We salute you.
It's my pleasure, Larry. Thank you very much for that. And I look forward to our discussions today.
All right. It's going to be a fast force march. You ready?
I'm ready.
I know you were. Let's begin with your first reaction when word broke about what Trump had ordered and how it had been carried out in Venezuela and the success of it.
Well, I was kind of surprised. I thought this might happen, but I thought we'd continue with the, you know, shooting the boats and capturing the ships and doing all this other stuff. And then if Maduro did some other precipitating event, we do this. So it that surprised me. The skill of it was just over the top. And sadly, the thing that surprised me the most is that they managed to keep it totally quiet until they did it.
And you know why?
They didn't tell Congress.
I was going to say they did not tell members of Congress, so no leaks. That was a perfect idea. Now, you talked about the skill. Let's talk about the logistics and what was taking place. We heard helicopters. We had overhead flights of fighters watching below what was happening on the ground in the lower airplanes and helicopters to make sure they were protected. Give me a scenario how that's carried out.
It's a incredible ballet of both logistics and the skill of the aviators to do all that, because most of those aircraft don't have the range to get, you know, all the way from the United States or someplace else into a target in, you know, a little bit inland like they did. So there was a lot of in-flight refueling. There were backup aircraft for the aircraft that were involved in the operation. I mean, there was a lot of layers of complexity here that all had to synchronize perfectly to be there when those troops hit the ground to accomplish the actual mission of the capture. So a huge win for the operators in the execution of their mission, an enormous win for the logisticians and the aviators, which as an operator, I have to tell you, those guys are so talented. I used to refer to them as the wizards because you give them, people like me give them impossible tasks to support, and they always figure out a way to do it magnificently. So,
we don't want to forget and ignore the naval contribution, aircraft carriers and destroyers off Venezuela.
Yeah, and that I didn't mean to leave them out. They're part of that support package. A lot of the aircraft flew off the ships, and you know, some of them flew from land bases and got refueled. It was an incredible joint operation that functioned flawlessly. Really remarkable amount of skill. I mean, to be honest with you, we do things really well. We don't often do them perfectly. This one, by all accounts, was as close to perfect as you're going to find.
And one of the things they had to do at the beginning, the flight overhead protecting the helicopters at a lower level, was take out artillery guns and radar detectors.
Yeah, the anti-aircraft artillery, the Russians apparently just gave the Venezuelans a whole bunch of stuff in the last year or so that would have made the anti-aircraft environment much more dangerous than it would have been otherwise. And I don't know if they just didn't get that stuff in place, they didn't know how to use it well, or our countermeasures just completely made them a non-issue. But they didn't hit. I think one aircraft got hit, and that may have been when it was down closer to the ground, not from anti-aircraft fire. So this was pretty remarkable. They blinded them. They made all of their defenses of absolutely no use. The Cuban bodyguards didn't prove to be too tough a task for our Delta guys. So it was really a remarkable accomplishment the way we did it.
I'm glad you brought up the Cuban issue, because White House defense spokesman, Homeland Security spokesman Miller said, a lot of folks don't know Cubans have been basically protecting Maduro and manning these artillery guns and other things because he did not trust his own forces.
Yeah, that's right. That, you know, people who are mistakenly saying we invaded Venezuela, a lot of the Venezuelans that have been posting things online and being interviewed said, give me a break. We were already invaded by the Cubans,
right,
and the Hezbollah, the Iranians, the Russians, even the Chinese. There's so many foreigners there, all from pretty nefarious states using that country as a base in our hemisphere. It was pretty amazing. The people of Venezuela didn't want them there. The government did, because they were, you know, in cahoots with them. So the fact that, you know, these were probably some of the best people the Cubans had. And yeah, that they're not 10 feet tall, and they darn sure can't shoot like our people.
Well, the Venezuelan opposition leader, Machado, who left Venezuela in secrecy for some time ago and then traveled from Venezuela to Norway to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, which she dedicated to President Trump, she says, I'm going back. How do you think that's going to be received, and who actually is in charge of Venezuela at this point?
Well, you know, that's the million-dollar question right now, Larry. The vice president, Ms. Reyes, who initially made a lot of statements saying, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. This is a criminal activity. They did this. She's kind of backed off on that a little bit.
I wonder why.
And I think that has something to do with Secretary Rubio having a chat with her. And she's trying to cooperate with us, apparently. Now, if that turns out to be true, that's a good thing, but her rep is not good. She's got a lot of bad mileage as far as not just supporting Maduro, but having been part and parcel of the execution of some of the things he did, specifically executing citizens.
Yeah.
So she's got a bad rep. And we don't know if she's going to try and pull a fast one on us or not. Hopefully, if Ms. Machado actually goes back, I think she will have a lot of gravitas and credibility with the people in the streets. That could be a positive thing. That could be the thing that tips the scales against the remnants of the Maduro regime. And maybe that's when they take their bags full of money and leave town.
And what is your response?
We don't know that yet.
Yeah. What is your response to all those opposing it, Bernie Sanders being one of them? This was just a grab for oil. This is an act of imperialism and nation building again.
Well, you know, the only people that are saying that are the representatives of Cuba, Colombia, Brazil,
we got several Americans saying
in Iran. Yeah, the only Americans saying it are people on the far left of the Democrat Party. You can't find a Venezuelan outside of the actual members of the Maduro regime that are saying anything like that. The rest of them are all going, heck no, we wanted this. We only wish it could have happened sooner. So no offense to Senator Sanders, but, you know, to sound crude, he's full of crap. And this
Colonel, you want me to edit that remark out?
I apologize.
You want me to edit that out?
I apologize, man.
No, you don't need to apologize. And we're not going to edit out. He is full of crap.
No, he is. It's ridiculous. And, you know, AOC, my favorite comment was, well, the president should have talked to me about this beforehand because I could have talked him out of this. She's a junior congresswoman, for goodness sake.
And she has no clerks.
And the only one crazier was Mondami, who said, I received a briefing on this. Yeah, one of his aides read him some tweets off Twitter and told him that it happened after the fact.
Again, there's someone who has no clearance for this kind of operation to begin with. And why would he get a briefing as a New York City mayor of what our government is carrying out? Final couple of points here. Overnight, we've had various guns and police shooting, and say they were hitting drones that were flying without permission. We don't know if that's true. We don't know who was piloting the drones or controlling them. But the area is still on very tense edge.
Yeah, and it will be, at least for the next week or two, until the leadership scenario in country is sorted out. You know, what are we going to do? Is America going to send people down there? I think that's probably a stretch, other than certain representatives. Will the Organization of American States send people there to try and act as peacekeepers and do a leadership transition? Will the Maduro people just cut bait and leave? And will Mrs. Machado come back? And what does that do to the people in the street as far as their actions against the government? The announcement by his son, Maduro's son, calling people to the streets to support his father has shown that their support is about zero in country.
What a shame. So, what a shame. Colonel
Bucci,
I want to thank you again for your time and your service to our nation as a Green Beret and now with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you very much, sir.
It's my pleasure, Larry, and thank you for having me back.
You bet, sir. Coming up, our story behind the story for today. I admit that I lied so I could cover a funeral, the funeral of President Lyndon Baines Johnson. The story behind the story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Thank you very much, Tom. I'm on the air right at the moment. Can you hold the line just a second? I'm talking to Tom Johnston, the press secretary for Lyndon Johnson. It was reported that the 36th president of the United States died this afternoon in an ambulance plane on the way to San Antonio, where he was taken after being stricken at his ranch, the LBJ Ranch in Johnson City, Texas. He was stricken at 3:40 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4:40 Central Eastern Standard Time. Three agents who were at the scene, who are permanently attached to the ranch to protect the president, went to his immediate aid, gave him all emergency aid they could.
That is Walter Cronkite on the date January 22nd, 1973, actually doing the CBS evening broadcast when he got a phone call and the staff made sure it got to him on the desk of CBS News from the press secretary at that time for LBJ, who was, of course, now out of office. That was Tom Johnson telephoning Cronkite to tell him what had happened. And Cronkite threw everything else on the newscast out, as he should, and focused on that breaking news. Ironically, this January 22nd death date for LBJ came 10 days after Johnson had done an extended hour-long TV interview with Cronkite at his ranch, discussing his legacy, the civil rights movement, admitting they still smoked heavily, but he said, it's better for my heart to smoke than to be nervous. That's why he continued smoking. They believe he did suffer a second heart attack following President Kennedy's assassination, but that diagnosis was released to the public that he had an angina attack. And November 8, 1965, Johnson had undergone surgery at Bethesda Naval Hospital, and the doctors reported he came through surgery just fine. And he went back to doing his duties. But then in March 1970, he suffered that second attack, and he had gained more than 25 pounds since leaving the White House, now weighing something like 235. And he was urged, you need to lose the weight. And by the summer of 1970, he again had chronic chest pains. He did lose 15 pounds in a month on a crash water diet, but he resumed smoking before Christmas 1971. He hadn't smoked since July 1955 when he had a near-fatal heart attack. And he confided in friends in 72, I'm hurting real bad. The chest pains. He had a portable oxygen tank near his bed. At approximately 3:50 p.m. Central, January 22nd, 1973, Johnson suffered that fatal heart attack, as you were hearing described by Walter Cronkite. And when that word began to break, everyone began to scramble. How do we get to cover this? How do we get in place? What is happening? Let me share something with you. I was working for a TV station in Houston at the time. The news director called everybody to the newsroom and stood there in front of us, and we all knew that Johnson had died by that point. And the news director asked, anyone here ever cover a presidential funeral? My hand went up faster than he could finish his sentence. We said, okay, Larry, you go cover. So our plan was to go to Austin and cover what we could pick up there. Lady Bird might be in Austin. We weren't sure at that point. And, of course, the Johnsons owned a TV station in Austin. And that was going to be a great connection for us as we moved forward. And from Austin, we were going to go to Johnson's birthplace when he was born August 27, 1908, a farm near Stonewall, Texas. That's the Texas Hill Country, about close to Johnson City. And his birthplace was actually on the Pinellas River. Now, if you're from Texas, the Hill Country, you recognize the, I said Pinellas on purpose. It's not really Pird, it's Pinellas. No R ahead of the D. But in Texas, that's the way you say it. So we're driving to Austin, a photographer driving the car, and he, about halfway to Austin, about a 3-hour, 4-hour trip, depending on our speed, and we were rushing it. He said, you said you covered a presidential funeral. I said, I did. When did you cover a presidential funeral? Now, at that time, I'm in my mid-20s, just yesterday. Okay, maybe a little bit longer than that. And he asked, when did you cover a presidential funeral? You told the news director you had. And I said, I haven't. He said, but you told the news director you did. I said, but no one else in the room had covered one either. And I'm going to cover this one. That's how you get ahead on the news business. You jump at the opportunities. So we continued our trip to Austin. We went directly to the TV station owned by the Johnsons. Lady Bird, we were told, was in the building, but never got to see her. And we waited to see what would happen next. We spent that night pretty much there, and early the next morning, we're at the birthplace of LBJ on a farm near Stonewall, Texas. His family later moved to Johnson City, where that was actually named for his family. But in Stonewall, Texas, there were some very interesting stories to uncover. I'm trying to get a handle on LBJ as a boy growing up in Stonewall, Texas. I talked to numerous merchants around the area, and many of them had been in business long enough to maybe have had transactions with his family and maybe LBJ in particular. I remember one man saying he had a little shop and he had candies up on the front counter, as many of them used to have, in large jars. He said, I often gave him a sucker. He didn't ask for it. He just stood there and looked at me, and I knew what he was asking by his eyes. And I would give him a sucker. That's those little suckers that had maybe a stick or maybe a loop on a piece of sucker that you chewed or sucked as slowly as you could. But he said, I gave candy often to LBJ. And other townspeople that knew him and his family, they talked about how they enjoyed the relationship with the family. And then they turn around and suddenly that little boy is president of the United States. And of course, they all felt that he had a connection that was even deeper than others, which I would agree they did. So what happened as we went around, the photographer and I are walking down one street, and we see an old man, and I say old, relatively, of course. So I would say probably late 70s. I don't consider that old anymore, but at that time I thought that's an old man. He had a hammer in one hand. He had a 2x4 balanced on one shoulder, which he was holding with the other hand as he was just shuffling across the street. And I stopped him. I said, so what's your reaction to what happened? He said, what are you talking about? Now, here's a man who had been busy with his own life, not involved in TV or radio, hadn't even talked to other folks around, and he was building or really reconstructing a home he was working on. And I told him, well, the death of LBJ, that he died yesterday. I was the first to tell him that. His mouth dropped open. The hand holding the hammer let loose. The hammer dropped. The other hand let go of the lumber. It tumbled off the back of his shoulder. And he looked at me in shock. What? What? He's dead? Now, I did not intend to be delivering that kind of news to anyone. It just so happened that we caught a guy who had not been exposed to any of the news coverage, as vast as it was, and the word going about his hometown of Stonewall, Texas. This man had just been out of contact with everything, truly off the grid. And we ended up sending that piece to ABC Network News so they could use it that evening. It was an amazing event. I'll never forget it. Walter Cronkite, on the death of LBJ, again, breaking into his own newscast to report.
Defeating President Johnson, the 36th President of the United States, who served from the time of President Kennedy's assassination in 1963 until 1969, when President Nixon succeeded him, has died. He died of a heart attack. He had been suffering from heart ailments for some time. He'd had two serious previous heart attacks, one as recently as a couple of months ago. He had been back at his ranch, though, and seemed to be in reasonably good health in recent weeks. He'd been up and around. He had not been bedridden in any way, and he was stricken this afternoon at 3:40 this afternoon. He died shortly thereafter, apparently, despite the best efforts of three Secret Service men at the scene who gave him every emergency aid they could.
And if you listen carefully, you can hear typewriters, yes, old-fashioned typewriters, banging out stories as Cronkite was reporting that breaking news. When LBJ ran for election, he ran against Goldwater, and there was a campaign that hit hard against him, and that was for Goldwater worked against Johnson. That was the Daisy campaign. I'll give you details of that. Also, I will admit, I met LBJ once when he was in trouble of his own making. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA. Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I profoundly hope that the tragedy and the torment of these terrible days will bind us together in new fellowship, making us one people in our hour of sorrow. So let us here highly resolve that John Fitzgerald Kennedy did not live or die vain.
That, of course, the address of LBJ to Congress, a joint session after the death of JFK. The presidential elections were held November 3rd, 64, less than a year after the assassination of JFK, of course, already on the schedule. And during that time, the Johnson campaign released what they called a Daisy Girl, or Peace Little Girl. A TV spot featuring a little girl picking daisy petals, counting up to 9, and then beginning to reverse. That was labeled as a an attempt, according to the Goldwater campaign, to frighten Americans. Because the words were, these are the stakes to make a world in which all of God's children can live or go into the dark. We must either love each other or we must die. Now, the ad was pulled after its initial broadcast, but of course repeated it over and over on various news agencies. LBJ on the JFK death. You heard that. And also, one of the things he could not resolve was Vietnam.
With American sons in the field far away. With America's future under challenge right here at home. With our hopes and the world's hopes for peace and the balance every day. I do not believe that I should devote an hour or a day of my time to any personal partisan causes or to any duties other than the awesome duties of this office, the presidency of your country. Accordingly, I shall not sue, and I will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
And he did not. I told you that I was involved in a so-called rescue of LBJ. He had his speedboat racing ahead of his Secret Service detail at that time on Granite Shoals Lake, and it conked out, his boat conked out, right in front of my grandfather's cabin on the lake. And we went out and attached a rope for LBJ to tow him in, and then had to wait for his Secret Service agents to catch up. That's how I met LBJ. And he passed around presidential pins for all of us once the Secret Service arrived. So, a little touch with history at an early age. And I'll never forget it. Tomorrow's story behind the story, almost 30 children kidnapped and buried alive. That's tomorrow. Second hour still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. You and I might have something in common, back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuire Moving. .com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.